of course. But many people want God's help without giving up to God the control. God, I want your help, but God, let me still be in charge. Have you ever said something like that to God? The problem with that attitude is that if we go to God with that attitude, we will find ourselves immediately in conflict with Jesus Christ, the Lord. You know, Jesus had many conflicts with people, particularly with the religious establishment. Jesus had several conflicts with them. In fact, in Mark chapter 2, where we've been studying here, and going on into chapter 3, we find that there are at least five different conflicts or controversies that Jesus has with people, particularly with the religious establishment in those days. This section of Mark is just characterized by these people who come to challenge Jesus, and he challenges them and their beliefs and their traditions, because oftentimes their religion and their traditions kept them from having a real relationship with God that he wanted them to have. And so Jesus, we find, he's going to use this picture of wine in wineskins, and Jesus was always stretching the wineskins of their understanding with the new wine of his teaching. The problem was that the old winers, and they were winers, the old winers couldn't take it, and they began to burst with anger toward Jesus, so much so that eventually these old whiners would take Jesus and hand him over to the Romans, who would put him to death on a cross. And they would ask for that to happen. Well, our text today is Mark chapter 2. I want to read to you verses 18 through 22. Listen to it. The disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. They came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and in those days they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the new wineskins, and the wine is spilt, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." So the question that we saw from last week was from John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, and from the disciples of the Pharisees. They came together and asked Jesus and his disciples, "Why are you not fasting? Instead, you're feasting." For Jesus and his disciples had just been in the home of Levi, the tax collector, the sinner, and they had been there and had a big party. And everybody, the religious establishment especially, were really concerned about that. And so they ask Jesus about it. And of course, we know from the scriptures that Jesus, everything that he does has a purpose. And the reason that Jesus is fasting and feasting and his disciples are feasting instead of fasting is because Jesus is going to make a point. Last week we saw that the point that he was making was that God's kingdom is to be more like the celebrating a wedding than mourning at a funeral. Did you hear that? When you become a part of the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning over your life will be characterized more that like the celebration of a wedding than the mourning of a funeral. Because Jesus came to bring gladness, not just sadness. And we saw that last week. Now this week, as we come to the other two pictures that Jesus gives of this, we come to verse 21 and verse 22. And we see in verse 21 that God's kingdom is to be like a new set of clothes, not just patching up the old ones. Jesus came to bring new, not just to patch up the old. And so the illustration that he gives in verse 21, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth onto an old garment, or else the new piece will pull away from the old, and the tear is made worse. What Jesus is saying here is this: if I take a new cloth, the preaching of the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God and His grace given to people, if I take that new cloth and I try to put it on the old dead religion, it will tear apart. It will ruin them both, he says. Jesus' point is this. He says, I have not come to just put a new patch or a new thing on your old religion and your old religious traditions. He says, that's not what I've come to do. He says, I've come to bring something altogether new and living. My intention in this, in coming to this earth, Jesus says, is not to prop up your old religious traditions. It's to bring a new relationship between you and the living God. That's why Jesus came. And so here's kind of patch point number one, as we're thinking about patches. Jesus is not into patchwork. He doesn't want to patch up your old lifestyle. He doesn't want to just be a temporary patch put on your life to try and fix a little problem that you have. He wants to instead to give you a whole brand new life. That's what He's about. And let me tell you this, if you try to take just a little bit of Jesus and add it into your life and keep trying to live your own life the way you want to live it, where I'm in control, let me tell you, if you try and add a little bit of Jesus to that, you're going to be miserable. Because Jesus doesn't want to just be a tack on to your life. He wants to be the whole thing. He wants to be your life. He wants you to find life in Him. And to try and just tack Jesus on, it can't work in your life. Jesus is not just patch up your old life. He makes all things new. Galatians chapter 3 says this. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He says it's like this. He says, before I came to Christ, I had this old garment that I used to wear, these old clothes, and it was basically my own life and the way decisions that I had made and the things that I wanted to do, and I was in control of these things myself, and basically I'd made a mess of it. It was an old garment. It was wore out. It had holes in it. And when I came to Christ, instead of trying to patch up that old life, instead what he did was, he says, take that off. He says, throw it away. It's not any good. It looks terrible. You don't want it anymore. He says, I've got a new set of clothes for you. Put it on. It's beautiful. It will last forever. It'll never wear out. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, we're to lay aside those old garments of our old life because we've got something so much better. Now, some of you like holy clothes. I mean, you know, the kids wear these things today, you know, that just have cuts and holes and all kinds of stuff. I noticed this lately. I don't know if you've noticed this. This is kind of just an aside. I noticed that one of the things that a lot of the ladies are doing nowadays is wearing clothes that are kind of slit up here on the side on their arms. And I noticed one of the reasons they do that is because a lot of them get tattoos now. And so they can show off the tattoos. But that's for nothing. it's just something I noticed the other day. It doesn't mean anything. All right. So, but what God wants to do is, you see, you've got these old, worn out clothes, this old, worn out life. You've messed it up. It's got holes in it. It exposes things in your life that you don't want people to see. And he says, I've got something better for you. I got something better for you. A new life. You can have it. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive it by turning away and turning to me. So that's it. It's a gift for you. And so he says in Ephesians, he says, if we have come to Christ, he says, you have put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to his deceitful lust. He says, and you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus came to save sinners. We've already seen that from the Gospel of Mark here. That's what he said. He says, I've not come. He says, a physician doesn't come and fix those who are not sick. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to save those people who were wearing the worn out, holy, messed up clothes. He came to give us new garments that would be honoring and glorifying to himself, that would fulfill your life and the purposes that he has for you. You cannot be too sinful for God to save you. And you cannot be too holy to not need his salvation. And so God's kingdom is like a new set of clothes. Third, we find in verse 22, or verse 21, that that God's kingdom is like new wine. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilt, the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, Jesus is referring here to the old ancient practice of when you took wine or grape juice and put it into a container. The containers that they used in those days were animal skins. Oftentimes they would use the skin of a goat, and they would take a small goat, and when they butchered that goat, this is kind of ugly, but when they butchered the goat, they would take and tie up the leather there on the legs, and the opening would be in the neck. And they would tan this thing properly so that they could then have it all clean and be able to put the new wine into it, the unfermented wine. And when it was in that wine skin, then of course it eventually begins to ferment. When it does, it expands. But the leather expands with it. And so as it does, you know, then the new wine and the new wineskins kind of go together because they're able to expand like that. He says you wouldn't take, well, after you have done that and you've used that wine later, the wineskin dries out and you can't use that same skin to put new wine into, because what happens is when you put the new wine into the old wineskin, then it's brittle and it breaks. And so he says here that the new wine, what is the new wine? Well, it's the joy and the power that Jesus Christ brings. It's the new kingdom of God that Jesus is announcing as He is the King, the ruler who came to rule and reign in the hearts and lives of people. The old wineskins is the old ritual and religion of dead Judaism apart from Christ. And what he's saying is that the new wine needs new wineskins. The point is that there's no use for the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees here for, he says, to keep doing the old same things that you've been doing under the bondage of that sorrowful life that you were living. He says, in those old dead religious forms, he says, because the new life that we have in Christ has to have a new way of expressing it. Christianity has always suffered from the attempt of people to mix the kingdom of God and the freedom that we have in Christ with legalism, following all the rules. The Lord is teaching us here in this passage, I think, that those two things just don't mix. Stop trying to mix them. Jesus taught that legalism, following all these religious rules and rituals and all of this stuff, is a cancer that kills the new life that a person would find in Christ. It's serious. You know, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Now, you know, when we talk about this, Jesus wants to set us free to just live for Him. Now, we know that the Bible is chock full of all kinds of rules, regulations, commandments, and those kind of things. Someone came and asked Jesus about that one time. What about all these commandments? What's most important? You know what Jesus said? He said, let me give you one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said there's a second one that's just like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you do that, you've fulfilled the whole law. You got the whole thing right there, he says. Love God, love people. That's a whole lot different than some of the religious rules and regulations and all these things that people have grown up with. So, well, you gotta do all this many times a week. You gotta wear these certain kinds of clothes, because if you don't, you know, then you're sinning, of course. And you gotta have your hair a certain length. And if you don't, of course, you're sinning. And if you people make up all kinds of rules. You probably can think of all kinds in your head right now. Jesus said there are two. He says if you'll concentrate on that, it'll take care of all the rest. Love God, love people. That takes care of it, he says. And the reason we're able to do that is because we can come to Jesus and He gives us that new life. It's the only reason we can. See, when Jesus moves in, He creates a new life inside you. The old life that you had is laid aside. If we try to hang on to that old life and adding Jesus inside of us, like the wineskins, if I take this old wineskin of my old life and try to pour in the new wine of Jesus, what's going to happen? It's going to ruin it. I'm going to be no good for my old life, and I'm going to be no good for my new life. I'm going to just kind of be a mess between the two. And as Jesus fills the wineskin of our new life, He begins to stretch that to new limits. And it's exciting. And it works. You know, let me make it clear. Jesus said He has not come to destroy the law, but He's come to fulfill it. All of that other, those other things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law completely. He never sinned. And because of that, He could be the sacrifice for our sins. We can go to Him who paid the price for sin on our behalf, and we can say, God, I'm trusting in Jesus. And He saves completely. What God is saying is that there is a perpetual wedding joy in Christ for those who have found it. A feast, not a famine. New clothes, not patched up rags. New wine in expressing itself in new forms, in new wineskins. Do you think it's a coincidence that in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit comes upon the church in power on that day of Pentecost, you know what the people who saw that happen? And they looked at these guys that were now filled with the Holy Spirit, who had this new wine just poured into their lives. And people looked at that and said, they must be drunk. They were filled not with the spirit of the world. They were filled with the Spirit of God. And it just showed out all over. Because it was expressing, the Spirit of God was expressing Himself in new and marvelous and powerful ways through the lives of these people. They were speaking forth the praises of God in new and exciting ways, and God was powerfully at work, and 3,000 people said, I want some of that today. People see that when they see you. You see, I'm inviting you to leave behind that old life and to find that new life in Jesus today. A life controlled by His Spirit. A life of feast, not famine. A life of the new, not just the patched up old. A life that is overflowing with His Spirit, expanding in all these directions so that other people can see Jesus in you. And that's our invitation today. I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus to offer ourselves to You. Father, I pray for everyone in this room. There are some here today, Lord, that have been living that old life, trying to do their own thing and just trying to add Jesus to it. Father, I pray that today would be that day where they say, I'm not just going to try and patch Jesus onto my life, but I'm going to turn my life completely over to Jesus and let Him do what is best. Lord, we give ourselves to You during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song. As we do, we're going to allow you to make a decision for Christ. If you want that new life in Christ, I invite you to come. Say, Pastor, I want that new life in Christ. I want to be a part of God's family in this church. I want God to be working that way in my life today. We invite you to come. We're going to sing number 417. You come as God calls you.
Help us to keep those promises before our eyes. Lord, help us to keep that holy city before our eyes. Lord, that we would not be nomads, but we would be pilgrims on our way. That we would be pilgrims traveling light so that we can get there quickly. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient children. Lord, help us to confess our sins, Lord. Bring those to our mind, Lord, that we might confess them, that we might shed them, that we might repent of them and make the journey all the lighter. Father, I pray that you would help us to be pilgrims on our way to live with you. In Jesus' name, amen.